Well, thank you, Nigel and Emma, for worship. We do appreciate that. There's a subject that I've been wanting to speak about for a while, and Mike has actually done a short Bible study about the blood of Christ, or the blood sacrifice, the significance of the blood. And I want to just go over one or two things that Mike has already brought. It's worth reading that study again and going through it in depth. But I want to start with Genesis 3, verse 21. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. He covered them. And we're going to be talking about blood. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll understand the blood sacrificed throughout the Old Testament and the significance of that. And then going into the New Testament with Christ Jesus shedding his blood. Because the Bible says that there is no forgiveness of sins unless there's the shedding of blood. So it is important that we talk about this. Now, it's a subject that some people don't go into in a great way. There's some churches don't speak about the blood. There's some Christians that marginalises the significance and the importance of the blood. But as I said earlier, there is no forgiveness without blood. And although some people have looked at this whole subject and tried to give an understanding about the sacrifice, right here, the first mention here of the shedding of blood is when Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. Remember that God said to Adam, "Where are you? What have you done?" And he killed the animal and he covered their nakedness. So without the shedding of blood, there is no covering. And that's the first mention of it in Genesis. And then I just want to go into the New Testament and read a bit of the New Testament for you, because this isn't a message where, you know, we just gradually build up and build up and then there's a revelation at the end. We know what the subject is about. It's about the blood of Christ. It's about the significance of his blood for me and you today as Christians. It's about the whole sacrificial side of it from the Old Testament going right into the New Testament. In Hebrews 10, and Mike brings this up, and it's worth looking at what he has to say there. In Hebrews 10:1, it says this: "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, and not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeat endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." It cannot cover their sins, in other words. And we're talking about the law being the sacrificial offering. "Those who draw near to worship, otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered?" So what he's saying here is, if one offering was enough, then they would stop. But it wasn't. It had to happen year after year after year after year. Because of the imperfection of the offering. "Otherwise, worship would have stopped being offered. For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins." So this highlights, it shows us that the blood offering was a covering for the sin of the people. When we look into Genesis, the skin was a covering for the nakedness of Adam and Eve. The blood was shed in order to cover their sin. "But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." So scripture is very clear. You cannot offer a blood sacrifice to get rid of sin once and for all. It goes on to say in verse 5 though, "Therefore when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Therefore, though they were offered in accordance with the law, then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, the will of the Father, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So what this scripture tells us this. Remember, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So there has to be a blood offering. Now, the bulls and the goats and the sheep, their blood was not sufficient to cover sin once and for all. They needed to be blameless, spotless, sinless. It had to be not from an animal, but from a man. And that man was Jesus Christ. And when he shed his blood, he became the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. That's why it's so important that we understand the power that's in blood, whether we look through the Old Testament or we look through the New Testament. But like I say, there's nothing hidden here. This is about power in the blood of Jesus. We sing about it, don't we all? A lot of the old hymn writers and the old churchgoers, they would sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We don't sing those songs anymore, but there's still the same power in the blood of Christ today. It's the power to redeem, the power to cover, the power to forgive. The power is in the blood of Christ. So in Genesis 4:10, we look at this story here. It says, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me. This is about Cain and Abel. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When we look through this story of Cain and Abel, we can see that when there was a murder that had been committed, blood was crying out. What was the blood crying out for? Vengeance. That's what the blood was crying out for. Vengeance. Justice. When we go forward into the New Testament, the blood of Jesus, when his blood was shed, wasn't crying out for vengeance. It was crying out for mercy. It was crying out for salvation. It was crying out for healing. So we have the first Adam who sinned, and from that first Adam came us. He brought the curse, and then the second Adam, meaning Christ, he dealt with the curse. The curse is death. Hell is separation from God, and there's a gift that God gives us. Because of the shedding of Christ's blood, he gives us life and life in all its fullness. But we need to understand the significance of his blood, his sacrifice, his death and his resurrection. Now for us as Christians, many of us, we have an understanding of this. But I think it's worth repeating what Mike has already put down on our website in that short study about the significance of the sacrificial blood of the Lamb and the sacrificial blood of the Holy Lamb, Christ himself. Exodus 12, verse 5. The animals you choose must be a year old male without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats, and take them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meal roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire. And it goes on to say there's a command that God gives them. Now this is about his people being set free. This is about the avenging angel, the angel of death coming over. And if you know the story, read it. If you look at this portion in Exodus, you will see that God said to his people, you're to take a sacrifice, you're to shed its blood, you're to take some hyssop, you put the blood in the bowl, you dip the hyssop into the blood, and you apply it over the doorposts of your home. And then when the avenging angel comes over, he will not strike. There was power in a sacrificial blood. There was power there. So I want to say to us afresh as a church, how much more? How much more? What do you mean, Pastor? Let me explain. If there's power to cover temporarily the sin of man through the shedding of the blood of animals, if there's power to protect and to save by obedience through the blood of animals, how much more the blood of Christ? How much more today for me and you, the blood of Christ? In Exodus 24:6, Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Now, this was all about being cleansed, about cleansing. People were cleansed by being sprinkled. The altar was cleansed by being sprinkled. Blood had power. It had power to cleanse. And for me and you, the significance of the blood of Jesus Christ is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Abel cries out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus cries out for mercy. And it's because of his blood that was shed that we can speak as we speak today, that we can be assured that because of his death and because of his resurrection, when we die, we will be raised as well. There's power in the blood. And for me and you, I believe if we will grab hold of this afresh, we may be able to tap into some of the revelation that God gives us through his word about the significance of his blood. I've said this before. Forgive me if you've heard it, but when I was a young Christian, I went to a major conference at a holiday park where there was a lot of Christians there. And I hadn't been Christian very long, and I listened to a lecture, and there was maybe a couple of hundred people in the room on this particular lecture. And it was talking about Christ being a substitute. It was talking about there being a deposit and guaranteeing something to come. It was this lecturer, this doctor, in theology, he was talking about how Jesus died so we didn't have to. And everything he had to say was good until he said, you know, he looked at us sort of in a strange kind of way, and he just said, you know, the blood of Jesus is insignificant. It's insignificant. And at that point, I started to fidget and sit on my hands and started to perspire. And at the end, we got an opportunity to ask questions. And I pulled him up on this and I said to him, how can you say the blood of Christ is insignificant? Now, there are preachers and there are teachers and there are churches and there are Christians that may say exactly the same. You may say exactly the same. I don't agree with you. If you do, I agree with what the scripture says. Without the shedding of blood, Christ's blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So how can the shedding of his blood be irrelevant? If it wasn't for the sinless lamb that shed his blood, our sins wouldn't be covered once and for all. We don't have to sacrifice year after year. What we have to do is we have to repent, turn to Christ, ask him to forgive us, ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, knowing that we've been redeemed because he shed his blood for me and you. Of course, there's power in the blood. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. There is power in the blood of Christ. Power to save, power to cleanse, power to cover, power to heal. In Hebrews 9, verse 28, it says this: so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Scripture is very clear. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin. So in other words, the first time he came to bear our sins, to take the curse of man upon himself, that curse that would separate us from God eternally. He came and he bore our transgressions and our sins and our iniquities. He took them on himself. He took the curse upon himself. Scripture says, cursed is the man who's hung on the tree. The first time he came and he was sacrificed, he came to bear sin. The second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. To bring salvation for those that are waiting for him. So for me and you, we're living in strange times, as many of us understand. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. So the way you was feeling 3 or 4 months ago before this pandemic and before this lockdown, we should be feeling still now, hopeful that Christ is coming back for us. Not fearful, but faithful, realistic, mindful, truthful. That we as a church, you as a Christian, I want you to grab hold of the blood of Christ afresh. I want you to realize the power and the significance of the shedding of Christ's blood. Romans 5, verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood. We spoke about this some weeks ago, being justified, sanctified and set apart. Didn't we? Going from glory to glory, a royal priesthood. We've been adopted into his family. Well, justification, it's just as if we'd never sinned at all. See, the blood of Jesus Christ pays the price for me and you. Now, we know this. This is the gospel, isn't it? That the enemy says guilty. Jesus says not guilty. The enemy there to rob and to steal and destroy, Christ, because of his blood that was shed for me and you, gives us redemption. He covers us of all our iniquity and unrighteousness as we ask him to forgive us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, it's the blood that justifies us. We're not justified by good works. We're not justified by how much money we give. We're not justified by how smart or intellectual we are. We're not justified by how much of the Bible we know. We are justified by his blood. Just as if I didn't sin. He covers me and he covers you because of his blood. There's power in the blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So in other words, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, he chose to shed his blood and see his body broken for me and you. While we were still enemies. So how much more? Having been reconciled, shall we now be saved through his life? How much more power is there in the life that we have now in Christ Jesus? How much more after grabbing hold of that sacrifice, grabbing hold of salvation, grabbing hold of our sins being forgiven, because sin will decay us. But as we ask God to forgive us of our sins, we are freed from that, aren't we? We are. That's the truth of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever, that's you and me, and anyone who chooses to accept Christ's sacrifice, whoever believes in him will have life and life in all its fullness. Well, if Jesus died and shed his blood while we were still sinners, how much more now we've been reconciled to him through his life shall we see his favor? How much more? If God is for us, then who can be against us? There's power in the blood of Christ. As we look through the Old Testament sacrificial system, year after year, the priest would have to sacrifice on behalf of himself and on the congregation, on the people of Israel. Year after year. What happened when Jesus was hung on that cross? When it got to the hour for him to go to the Father afresh, to go into hell, if you like, and confront death. What did he say? It is finished. And then scripture tells us that there was a curtain and it was split in two. And that curtain separated me from God, you from God. God's people
from God's presence. The only way to come into God's presence was through the sacrificial offering of an animal's blood. And that had to be done by the priest. Well, when Jesus said it is finished and the curtain was torn in two, it gave me and you access to the presence of God through the shedding of Christ's blood. That's how powerful it is. We don't have to go to a priest. We go to God. That God will speak to us through his word. He will speak to us through his spirit. But there's power in the blood. And I want us to grab that thought today. Power in the blood is the shedding of Christ's blood that gives us redemption, that forgives us of our sins. It's the power of God's blood that enables us to trust him and his word. In him, we have redemption through his blood. This is in Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. His grace is rich. God has forgiven us of our sins, and it's because of his blood that was shed. So let me read that scripture again. In him, that's Christ, we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been purchased. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is life. So Jesus came to pay the price for me and you. Now this is the gospel, and you know the gospel. Excuse me, but there may be people who have never heard the gospel. That's why it's important to understand why there had to be a blood sacrifice. Because of Adam and Eve's sin. God covered their sin by killing an animal. And from that point, there was a sacrificial procedure that they had to come on a regular basis and atone for their sin. Until we get to the New Testament, when Jesus came once and for all to pay for my sin and your sin. But we need to be the ones that receive it. There's power in the blood. In him we have redemption. In Christ we have redemption. Through his blood. We've been redeemed through his blood. That's how powerful it is. The blood of Jesus has paid the price for my sin and for your sin. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The blood of Jesus cries out. He still speaks today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Show mercy, have grace. The enemy is out there, the devil is out there to accuse. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the deceiver of those that don't believe yet. But Jesus is saying, forgive them, redeem them, open their eyes, unstop their ears. There's power in the blood. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says this. He himself bore our sins. This is Jesus. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not just a good thought. It's not just something just to string together. This is what is thread right through the Bible. From the Old Testament right through to the New Testament. From Genesis to Revelation, it talks about blood. It talks about the mess of blood, the power of blood. And as I was, I want to repeat 1 Peter 2 verse 24. He himself, that's Jesus, he bore our sins. He took our sins, our curse upon himself in his body on the cross. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, to have a right standing with God. And that goes on to say this. By his wounds we have been healed. You must have quoted that scripture many times. By his wounds we've been healed. Now, when we think about the sins that we commit, and we think about living for righteousness, righteousness means to have a right standing with God. So, when he died on the cross and he shed his blood, he gave us the opportunity to get right with God. To be healed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, everything. Nothing broken, nothing missing. He gave us an opportunity to get right with God. Now, I truly do believe that all things are possible, that God is able to create and recreate. He is able to heal. He is able to set free in this life and the life to come. But if we think about healing just as the physical body, then we'll be disappointed at times, because we'll pray that God will heal cancer, he will heal different diseases and body functions that are not functioning how they should. And then we'll get disappointed. But if we look at healing primarily in having a right standing with God, being healed of our sin, being forgiven of our sins, and being made right with God, then by his wounds, because of his stripes, scripture says, the marks and the blood that was shed as that whip ripped through his back and his body, we have been healed. We've been made whole. You see, when something's not healed, it's broken, isn't it? Well, what God does through the shedding of his blood, he puts us back together. He heals us. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop praying for physical healing. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop praying for mental and emotional healing. We should keep praying for that. You need to believe that all things are possible through Christ who loves us. That by his wounds we've been healed. But the first healing I'd like you to receive from God is that salvation, that righteousness, that right standing with him. So as we've done weeks prior to this, because we don't know who's listening to this message, and maybe you're having doubts, but if you need healing today, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, then God is more than able. He's more than able. Let's pray together right now that God will reveal himself afresh to us. That if you've never received Jesus as Saviour and Lord, then his blood was shed for you to pay the price for your sin, to give you righteousness, to give you life and life in all its fullness, now and when you die, heaven, not hell. Father, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. Father God, we thank you that you gave your son Jesus Christ, who willingly was obedient to the call to shed his blood and suffer on a cross and take the curse for us. Father God, we thank you that the blood of Christ still speaks today, that we are justified by his blood. We are sanctified because of his blood. We've been forgiven because of his blood. And we can receive healing because of his blood. Heal us today, we pray, Lord. And if you have an ailment, you give it to God. Ask him to cover you by his blood. And Father God, I pray for repentance, Lord. If there's anything in me that I need to be repentant of, Lord, remind me right now and I give it to you, Lord. And for those that have never received Christ as Saviour and Lord, simply ask him to forgive you for living your life your way and say you want to live it his way. Ask him to cover you by his blood, and he will. God's word is powerful, I believe, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible says. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 19, 20, and maybe 21, we'll see. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed. Silver and gold are precious things, aren't they? They're precious metals, but they're perishable. We weren't redeemed by those types of things. Silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, this is Jesus Christ, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed, through the living and the enduring word of God. The blood of Jesus Christ heals us, and the blood of Jesus Christ knits us together as a family. Remember, the Bible talks about me and you becoming children, becoming heirs and co-heirs. That's all because of the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no cohesion. There's no family. When we think about Jesus being nailed to the cross, it wasn't the nails that held him there, was it? He had the power to rip his hands from those nails. It wasn't any ropes that were around him that held him there. It wasn't fear of his enemies that held him there. What held him there was love for me and you and humanity. That's what held Jesus to the cross. Because he had to stay there until it was finished. He had to stay there until the curse of mankind had worked its way right through his body. Where his blood was being drained. Each drop was a price being paid for me and you and for the future me and yous. For those that will grab hold of salvation. We've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, for the living and enduring word of God. We're told to have sincere love for one another. That can only happen because of the blood of Christ. There's many things we can say about Jesus shedding his blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. We know that. So it's significant for our salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there'd be no church family. Without the shedding of blood, there'd be no healing, no redemption, no hope. Christ so loved the world, or God so loved the world, that he gave Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have life and life in all its fullness. Let's look at Ephesians 2:13. It says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by his blood." The blood of Jesus brings us close to him, brings us close to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father, the Bible says, except through the Son. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me, through him. You have to go through the gate. You can't jump over the fence. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can't get to God any other way other than through Jesus. And through acknowledging the power of his blood that was shed for me and you. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off or far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It brings you and me near to God. "For he himself," it says in verse 14, "he himself is our peace." We want peace? Of course we want peace. It's found in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's peace in the blood. There's redemption in the blood. Forgiveness in the blood. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." It's worth reading this. We're going to verse 15. "By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Verse 17. "He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near." Verse 18. "For through him we both have access to the Father through one Spirit." Verse 19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God and God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." We could go on and we could go on. Basically, this scripture is talking about the separation in the temple of the Jew and the Gentile. And Jesus says, because of my body being broken and my blood being shed, I came to bring the two that were separated, that were alien, the people of God and the Gentile, and bring them together and make them one humanity through my blood. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It takes two halves to make one whole. That God takes the hostility of mankind and he reconciles them, me and you, to God through the shedding of his blood. That's how powerful his blood is. I want us to be reminded to look through scripture at the sacrificial system and be thankful that we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to sacrifice animals in order to cover our sin. Our sin's been covered by the sacrifice himself, God, through the person of Jesus Christ. But we need to accept that sacrifice. You need to accept that sacrifice in order to walk in the freedom and the power of that sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Colossians 1 verse 18 says this, and he is the head of the body, that's Christ, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. In other words, because Jesus rose from the dead, we will rise from the dead also. He's the first fruits, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In verse 19, for God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Here it is again for us. Peace is made through the shedding of the blood of Christ on the cross. In verse 21 it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Talking to the Christian there. We've been set free. We've been set free by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood is powerful. The blood is powerful. In 1 John 1, 7, it says this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship. That's communion with one another. Now we know that there's times where people don't get on and you might not get on with me and vice versa. I might say something that offends you and you might say something that offends me. But fellowship is where we keep short accounts with each other and short accounts with God. Where we come together with a common purpose, knowing that we're sinners saved by grace. Not by works, but by what Jesus did, by shedding his blood on the cross. And if we walk in that light, the light of Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with one another. And it goes on to say this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, to be purified means to be purged out of. And when we acknowledge our sin, we come to God on a daily, weekly basis, whatever it may be, we're saying, Lord, forgive us of our unrighteousness. Not the sin that will separate us from God, but the sin that we commit after we become Christians. Or maybe you don't. You do, don't you? We all sin. We sin in word and thought and deed. And we come and we keep clean hearts with God. But he purifies us from all sin. Goes on to just give his people a warning in verse 8. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But it goes on to say in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This power in the blood. Not the blood of the sacrificial animal, but the blood of Jesus Christ. This power in his blood. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says this. They triumphed over him. Who are they? That's the church. God's people. That's me and you in today's reckoning. They triumphed over him. Who's him? The enemy, the devil. They triumphed over him. How? I'm glad you asked. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The Bible says if you want to receive your life, you have to lose your life. See, we have to die to self in order to live to God. That's the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel that we teach. That's the gospel that will empower us, impact us, and enable us. They triumphed. We triumphed over the devil by the blood of the Lamb. See, there's still power in God's Son, isn't there? There's power in the shed blood of Christ. And this isn't a ritual that I want you to do, but when we think about pleading, when a plea is made, it's made on our behalf, and it's a reference to the courtroom. You know, you plead guilty, you plead not guilty, someone makes a plea on your behalf, someone speaks on your behalf. Well, the Bible tells us this, that the enemy accuses us and Jesus intercedes for us. So he speaks on our behalf, he pleads on our behalf. So we can't physically take his blood and we can't put it in a bowl and we can't dip hyssop in it and physically apply his blood over the doorposts of our lives. But we can spiritually acknowledge the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, your blood was shed that I may receive forgiveness. Your blood was shed that I may have fellowship. Your blood was shed that I may have peace. Your blood was shed that I may keep short accounts with you and with each other. Your blood was shed that I may be healed by your wounds, Father God. I have been healed. Your blood was shed that I may have the fullness of everything you have for me now. Father God, I plead your blood and apply your blood over the doorposts of my home, the doorposts of my heart, the doorposts of my situation. Lord, take my finances, Father God, and cover them by your blood and enable me to be a generous giver. Father God, take my body and heal me, I pray, Lord, that I may be an individual that will serve you for many years. Lord, take my thoughts, Father, I want to make them captive and obedient to your word. Lord, cover me by your blood. Father, I thank you that I've been forgiven. But Father God, I want to walk in the power that you've given me. There is power in the blood. Genesis 3, where we started, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God's clothed us in his righteousness. Right standing with God. When Jesus said it's finished, it truly was finished. There's still power in the blood. Read through God's word, church. Be encouraged, because there's nothing new under the sun. We plagiarize every time we read the Bible, don't we? Someone else wrote it. The Holy Spirit inspired it. God directed it. We need to live it. Let's believe afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ, how powerful it is, that when we pray for others, that we pray that that blood that was shed to take the curse of humanity would enable that individual that we're praying for to be redeemed. Amen. Let's just pray together before we close. Father God, we thank you that your word tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to shed blood, our blood or the blood of animals, that we just simply come by faith in the finished work of the cross, that, Lord, you gave us access to the Father because of your grace and because of your blood that was shed. Father God, we pray that you would encourage us, enable us, impact us and empower us afresh, Lord, as we ponder upon this message today about the importance of blood. That, Father God, it's not sticky, messy, but it's powerful. Father, thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. Lord, empower me and impact me that I may be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.